they're mating. I think he's chasing her down and trying to mate.
As I take a tour of the southern part of the Indian River Lagoon, its riverkeeper, Marty Baum, points out a small pod of dolphins frolicking in one part of the 156-mile estuary. The water, starting to clear up after temporary relief from polluted discharges, is now a blue color. Not so about a month ago. But it's over on the other side of the lagoon, the northern part, that has scientists truly worried. That area, oftentimes called a hot spot, is the site of a massive die-off of pelicans, manatees, and dolphins. And right now, no one really knows why. Some even call it, quote, a challenging form of CSI or crime scene investigation. Okay, so maybe not like CSI Miami, more like CSI Indian River Lagoon. The phrase is coined by Jan Landsberg, the state's lead investigator into all mysterious animal deaths. She says what researchers are trying to work out is the common thread linking the three species.
I suppose it is like a murder mystery, and like there's a, you know, someone was running from the scene, and well, they're obviously the culprit when they're not, but it might be easy to assume that because you've got all this. So in a way, you could say, you know, perhaps at the beginning, the macroalgae was the obvious thing, but maybe it's not because there's other things that start to become obvious.
Landsberg is also a research scientist for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and she's referring to algae blooms that have been plaguing the lagoon and have destroyed thousands of acres of seagrass, which all three species depend on in their own way.
That thing is really the thing that holds everybody together and keeps everything sort of normal. And because the seagrass died, we don't know what the direct effects are or indirect effects are, but it certainly is like everything happened after that. So we have to naturally assume that it's connected somehow.
That's Megan Stolen, a research biologist with the Hub SeaWorld Research Institute in Melbourne Beach. Stolen's expertise is dolphins and whales, and she and her fellow researchers have been looking into the more than 50 dolphin deaths in the Indian River Lagoon earlier this year, which she says has been particularly bad.
You shouldn't see a dolphin with a neck.
You know, they should be torpedo-shaped. I mean, they should just be plump and like round like a torpedo. Anything less than that means that they're either skinny or pretty emaciated.
The only bright spot was one bottlenose dolphin who survived and has since been released and is still under monitoring by her institute. As for the manatees, this year became the deadliest year for the Florida's endangered sea cows. Close to 800 have died, surpassing the 2010 record by about 20. 111 of those were from the Indian River Lagoon alone. And Dr. Brian LaPointe of the Harbor Branch Oceanographic Institute in Fort Pierce says, from examining the digestive tracts of manatees who normally eat seagrass, the offender appears to be a red drift seaweed called Gracilaria.
And this plant is Gracilaria, and it can double its biomass in as little as 2.5 days. It grows naturally in the Indian River Lagoon, but because of all the nutrients from septic tanks, fertilizer runoff, and the various human sources on the watershed, this plant has formed massive blooms. It overgrows seagrasses, and it can smother the seagrasses, cutting off the light that they need, for example. And this has affected, of course, the manatee.
LaPointe is also working to figure out what's altered the chemistry of the Indian River Lagoon. He says while scientists are looking for the usual suspects, he says research needs to focus on the toxins in the lagoon. Meanwhile, it's the pelicans that saw the worst of it in the mysterious die-off. An estimated 300 of them died in the Indian River Lagoon. And Martin County Commissioner Sarah Hurd may have a theory. She at times represents the lagoon surrounding county's interests at congressional hearings. She says perhaps even for the pelicans, it could be as simple as not seeing any fish in the very opaque water.
Because they, of course, are completely reliant upon being able to dive bomb fish and scoop them up. So if you can't see through the water, you can't fish.
But to find those answers and to continue searching for clues, it comes down to money. Some researchers are hoping for federal grants. Others may find relief in Congress's WERDA bill or the Water Resources Reform and Development Act, while others hope for state money. State lawmakers, for example, this year appropriated $2 million for the Harbor Oceanographic Institute to continue its Indian River Lagoon research. Last year, they did the same for a similar venture, but it was vetoed by Governor Rick Scott. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Cordner.